Good morning, podcast audience, Local 304, and as always, particularly my branch, Columbus, Ohio. Yes, this morning's podcast, the soundtrack, Sway, is in the background. I was listening to it this morning, and I added it to our podcast today, so let's get it on. Yeah, this morning, Columbus, Ohio, excuse me. I want to talk overtime, but I want to talk about it with respects to Article 5 and Article 8. Again, Article 5 and Article 8 is going to open our podcast up this morning. Okay, let's open up with Article 5, and I'm going to read it because it's only one paragraph. The employer will not take any action affecting wages, hours, and other terms and condition of employment as defined in Section 8D of the National Labor Relations Act, which violates the terms of this agreement or otherwise inconsistent with his obligation under law. And again, the preceding article, Article 5, shall apply to mail handler assistant employees. So let's talk Article 5 real quick before we roll it into Article 8. In Columbus, Ohio, more times than not, your overtime is regulated and mandated by clerks. Now, that is just a direct violation of Article 5. But here's the argument that those who are very uninformed present to you, because in the past, we have not been characterized as fighters for our right. Here we go. If an expediter or a lead clerk, well, let's talk about the lead clerk. Lead clerks, if they don't have the authority to guide direct mail handlers, then no clerk really has that. But what Columbus does, the MDO instructs the clerk to call you. Wrong, folks. Now, what the clerk says, and again, first of all, let's understand, there is no disagreement between me and the APWU on this, because if a supervisor directs an employee to do something that doesn't put them in immediate harm or danger, then by definition of you work for the post office, you're supposed to comply with your last order. So APWU, all I want to say to you is this is not a podcast against you. So please understand that I'm talking about that rotten entity, postal management. So what happens is the manager now instructs the clerks to call you, which is a direct violation of Article 5. And then they wonder why people won't come to work. Well, let me say this to the mail handlers. And again, I want to say this as sincerely as I possibly can. It is an Article 5 violation for a clerk to call you and ask you to come to work. But I do understand that if I am wanting that overtime, wanting, not needing, but wanting that overtime pay, sometimes that makes a tough position to stand against. But we should start doing that, because I'll say this to the mail handlers. If you stood up for your contract, and sometime let your personal gain go for about a week or two, if you can, I guarantee you, management will then start scheduling overtime in the manner they're supposed to, like the term management dictates. In other words, you schedule Tuesday's overtime on Monday. You should be very well versed in forecasting mail volumes. All of this, some clerk calling you at home, that does not constitute an offer for you. And since we're talking Article 5 and clerks calling you at home, do you know that your clerks pretty much manage more of your overtime desire list than your supervisor ever will? Again, that's a violation of Article 5. There is too much involvement from the Clerk Craft APW, in line with what mail handlers do. And I want to tell you, those two roads, APW and the NPMHU, they run parallel. They don't crisscross. And the two should not be supervising, directing, or guiding each other. But in Columbus, it happens every day. And we are so, you are so comfortable or so used to that that you don't even know how to fight that. We think that if you fought that and made the post office stop having clerks call your house, you think that all your overtime will just go away. No, it's going to force management to schedule Tuesday's overtime on Monday like it should be. Once I leave work and the clerk calls my house and tells me to come in, well, again, when I leave work, there's a set of plans that go into effect. Now, all the time, I'm not in a position to cancel these plans. Not when, again, it's not contractually obligated to me. And I want to stop and say this. I understand if you're on the overtime desire list, you're volunteering to work, you're making yourself available to work 7 days a week, up to 12 hours a day. But see, that's not what our management does. And if you're on the overtime desire list and your manager calls your house, then you can answer the phone or then you can have conversation and report to work. But if a clerk calls your house, no, that's an Article 5 violation and it doesn't even constitute an actual overtime offer. So again, here's a chance for us to stand up for what's right. Again, we as mail handlers are going to miss maybe one or two overtime call-ins. And I say in all earnesty, if your financial position will allow you to miss those call-ins, come on, how about we stand for solidarity on that? How about we stop allowing clerks to call our homes to schedule us for overtime? And again, I have to keep saying this because I don't want mail handlers to think that I'm trying to hurt your financial bottom line. It's just going to be a short gap because now Columbus management is going to take exception to you not responding to clerk calls. But when the response is great enough, because it's a contractual violation, notice I'm only asking you not to respond to these calls because I believe it's a contractual violation. Do not confuse this with I'm giving you advice on how to hurt the post office. Not what we're doing. We're actually trying to help the post office because Columbus management, even though they have a contract, more times than not, they act as if they have no idea what that is, and they move us around that facility. They schedule overtime around that facility with no concept to Article 5 or 8. Here's our chance to send a message back to them. And in response to a lot of email I get, again, because I work with a lot of APWU members in Columbus, Ohio, and just to be perfectly clear, I don't do APWU work, but because I do a lot of EEOs in Columbus, I assist a lot of the APWU members in the EEO process. But again, here's a couple of minutes dedicated to the APWU. Again, as I see it, let's go out front and let's get in front of this going bad by me saying right now, I am not a member of the APWU, but I have eyes. And if what I'm seeing is not what is actually happening, hey, APWU members, send me an email. Let me know I'm off course. But here we go. APWUs with respect to overtime. Here's the game that they play with you. Again, from a non-APWU member's perspective, but I got a pretty good background. Here we go. APWU members, they are still allowing you to do the work of two people paying only one. And what I mean by that, I like to go back and visit your delivery barcode sort of operation. Now, again, you and I both know that one clerk can, during startup and shutdown, per your contract, can run that machine. Never mind the fact that you've got a letter inside of the lead MDO's office from the past lead NBO that said, regardless of what that says, they made it better for you that there will be two people on the machines at all times. Now, I don't know if that letter has been rescinded, but to the best of my knowledge, that letter still holds power. But here's what happens. Columbus management, because they are short on personnel for reasons we're not going to talk about right now, continually assigns one clerk to a machine. Now, I'm sure that there are clerks in that building who work 5 to 6 hours every night alone. Here's how that really hurts you. Number one, when you work all those clerk hours, let's say, for example, and we'll keep it real short and simple, you work by yourself on a machine. That should be 16 work hours of being assigned to run those programs. But because you're by yourself, the post office is only paying you 8. I'm sure you're getting 10 or 12, but I'm going to keep this simple. Paying you 8. So right off the bat, instead of showing 16 work hours, they're only showing 8. Then they promise you some kind of extra pay if you file a grievance later, you'll get, which you're not getting with any kind of consistency. So the bottom line is, you just did the work of two people. 68 hours just replaced 16 hours of work. Now, you multiply that, but I'm only going to use it for one single occurrence. When the post office comes back around to look at their F1 scheduler and determine how many clerks are going to be in automation, let's be for real now. Do you see how your staff gets cut? Example, automation should run with 16 hours a day. Again, we're using real small numbers. But because you do that work, because the clerk violates their contract and runs that whole program, 16 hours of work just got performed by 8 hours. Now, when they look at your F1 scheduler, they realize I don't need 16, so they only schedule you for 8, and then the whole vicious cycle starts with the supervisor and the employee screaming, we don't have enough people to run this operation. Does that make sense? Can anybody relate to that? So what I'm saying is, they have clerks doing the work that's going to reduce their work hours by 50% in most cases, not compensate that clerk, but then take advantage when they try to realign the automation department based on actual work hours, and then we get upset. Does that make sense? Does that pass the common sense test? No, you have to stand up now and not allow these things to happen. And again, clerks, I'm asking you, what I'm asking the clerks to do is check with your union on what you should be doing. Okay, I'm not going to get in the middle of that. But what we should be doing from a non-APW perspective is not allowing that to happen. You see, we have the ability contractually to kind of force management's hand on doing the right things in a lot of cases. But more times than not, we fall short because we buy into that old bull crap that they can do what they want to do. Article 3 will allow them to do that. I'm here to tell you, I'm ready to stand up and get our union excited about holding management in compliance 3 times greater than they are ever being asked to do right now. And if we get them to come into compliance, then we can see what kind of work environment we really have. And I'm here to tell you, I can help bring that about. And on Monday and Tuesdays, again, I try to keep my postal podcast really geared at City Gate in Columbus, Ohio. And again, because of what I've done in the past for the post office, my podcast will talk to mail handlers, which again, I hope to be the future leader of, on a local level, clerks and letter carriers. In fact, next week, I'm hoping to speak with some letter carriers and hear how's things transpiring since they kind of kicked them out of City Gate. I'm sorry. Since they relocated the carriers. Yeah, I'll be talking to some carriers next week. Again, I'm trying to give you a well-rounded picture of your work life, your work environment. This is Kenny Hodge. Branch President, Columbus, Ohio. Soon to be your local president of National Postal Mail Handlers Union, Local 304, saying have a great day.